Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. Hey Lucinda, so thank you for coming and being one of my coaching guinea pigs today. And we're going to treat this like any other session. You and I, just so that people listening know this, have not really chatted about this before. And this is a completely new topic, an area that we're jumping into. So I just wanted to ask you what it was that you wanted to focus on today.
Well, I suppose I'm in a place where I am making a lot of changes in my life, both around career, but also around general lifestyle things. And I'm making a lot of realizations about where I don't want my life to go. Mm-hmm. And with the help of the book and in the e-course, I've discovered, you know, through the value system, I've discovered the things that I'm really passionate about, and now I really want some practical application towards next steps of taking something theoretical and making it a practical way forward.
Fab. Okay, so if everything in, I guess, this topic area, which is vast right now, but if everything was as you wanted it to be, or it felt good to you, what would be going on that told you that it was working out as you wanted it to be?
I suppose one of the big things, and it's probably why I was so drawn to you, is that I often have this real feeling of not fitting, you know, that things that I'm not fitting in with my work, with my colleagues, that there's an element of sometimes quite intense discomfort around my situation, that I feel that I'm not doing what I should be doing or what other people expect me to be doing. So I think one of the big things, and it sounds so kind of non-specific, it's just a feeling of ease within the situation that I'm in, and just feeling that every decision that I make, large or small, is leading closer towards ease and a feeling of being in the right place within myself, you know.
Okay, so what would be, and that's fantastic, you know, it's really great to have connected with a word and a feeling. Yeah, so really the feeling that's important is that ease there, and I can hear from what you're saying that it comes with so much more. It's acceptance and confidence and yeah, at ease in yourself and your surroundings. And what would be happening that would be telling you that you felt at ease?
Well, I suppose I would be living a life probably that didn't look like anybody else's life around me, you know, of letting go of the things that I think I've been held by. So having the kind of 9-to-5 job, having the house, having stability, because actually I think the things that I find really appealing are the ideas of having a very flexible life and travel and movement all the time. Mm-hmm. Which could be a physical thing, in that I like active, mm-hmm. you know, I like to be in the mountains, and I would love to find a way of including that kind of activity and adventurousness into my work. But also, you know, really letting go of this feeling that I should live a conventional life, and feeling that because I'm comfortable and I know that it's authentic to me, that I can let go of anybody else's judgment about that.
And if you were able to do that, if you were able, just like that, to let go of all the shoulds and all of the societal or family or, you know, just the pressures that you perhaps feel around how things ought to be. If you were able to let go of all of those things and feel a sense of ease and live in a way that felt authentic and true and real and was accepted to those around you, what would the benefits of that be?
I think I would just be happy, you know, and not in a sort of really up kind of way where you're very excitable, but just a sort of base level contentment in my life. And truth. I know this sounds very non-measured, but just to be around community and be helpful in a space, I think that's really important to me. And it probably is much less to do with work as a specific thing, but that my life is holistically in balance.
Okay, so that's really interesting. So the benefits, I'm still not really clear what the benefits would be. You'd be happy and there'd be a sense of truth. Okay, let's try this another way around. What would the impact of you being happy and having a sense of truth have on you and the people around you?
I would be able to kind of get in touch with what my actual sort of skills and gifts are and apply them. So rather than, I think I've always tried to find a job that I can apply myself to, but I think what I need to do is to work out what I have as my inherent gifts and find a way to work within them. I just need to look at it in a totally different way.
And what stops you from doing that?
I think I do feel responsibility to people around me. And I think I've felt that because I'm, you know, I hear the word, and maybe it's in my own head, but I hear the word flaky a lot. And I want to feel that actually my kind of flexibility and how good I am with change as something that's actually really beneficial, that I can go into different situations and adapt really quickly and be happy in them. Instead of trying to be settled and established and feeling uncomfortable in that, to say, actually, it's a strength that I am, that I like change, that I like newness, and that I really like to have a kind of impact on a situation. So if I can come in, so for example, last year I went and worked on a farm in California, and it wasn't going to be my life forever, but I went in and I worked really hard and I had a really positive impact on my community there and the people that I was working with. And I think if I could find a way to work in that way, where maybe that's a project and I can go in and work really hard, really apply myself for a period of time. And not that I necessarily want to have a, you know, always be thinking about leaving, but that there's a very kind of definite impact that I can have on that environment.
So that sounds really clear to me.
Okay.
Doesn't it?
I mean, I guess it does, yeah. As to how I find those but no, you're right, that is very definite.
And what's interesting to me is that there is clarity, but there's a lack of confidence.
That's probably it, yeah.
Okay, so
one of the things with the farming was that it was so random, mm-hmm. and I didn't actually go looking for it. It felt like I was there on holiday visiting a friend, and a friend of hers was looking for somebody, and I knew her, and I just thought, okay, I'm just gonna throw caution to the wind. And it felt brave, but it also felt that it was kind of a gift for me to take.
And I'm struck by the ease of it as well.
Absolutely.
So for, because I don't actually know what your value filter is, and I'm assuming that ease is one of them. Have you done the value filter exercise?
It's a funny thing because I've done it, and I've done it a few times, and things shift within it. So at the beginning, it was probably more sort of growth and, you know, more sensible things. And as I went further, it became more kind of about freedom and about wildness. And ease clearly should be in there because I'm obviously, that is obviously something that's important to me, but currently it isn't.
Okay, so this is really interesting. So what I'm actually hearing from you is a conflict, and a really strong sense of ought, should, responsibility, duty, and then a pull to also a wildness and an easefulness and a being in community and creating impact in the short term so that you can be allowed to have freedom and move.
Yes, absolutely. I think all those last things that you said, I just am drawn to.
Okay. So what is the biggest challenge for you? What is it, if you had to work out what the biggest challenge was, the thing that stops you from just having that, what do you think it is?
I think it's perception of family from family.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
Well, I think when I was younger, I went to boarding school from a very young age. And I really developed an independence. And I think that's where my flexibility and my ability with change came from. So I see that as a really big thing. But another part of it was that I then became very emotionally isolated because I felt that I made my decisions and nobody else has an impact on me. And then when I was at university, my mum had a bad accident and was paralyzed. And I think at that point, I started to feel much more drawn into my family. And probably those things that most people go through and get over when they're teenagers, I really was dealing with through my 20s of responsibility and your relationship with your family. And I think I, you know, in the way that if those things had happened when I was a teenager, I probably would have just said, well, I don't care, I'm my own person. I actually listened much more. And so originally I had had a creative career and then I moved into finance and I could see from the reaction of my family that they were really happy that it looked like I might finally be stable and maybe I'd even buy a house or so I felt like I was very influenced by wanting to make them feel happy and for me not to be a stressor in their lives. That I wanted to kind of give them the things that they that would make them feel that I was safe and could look after myself without really thinking about the fact that I probably would make them happier if I was happy.
And so how do you feel about that situation now? Now that some time has passed and that you're older and that you have, because it sounds like from what you're saying, that you can see it all, right? And there's a difference between being able to cognitively see it and know it and know it to be true. So when you say the biggest challenge is the relationship with my family, what's the fear? What do you think would happen if you chose to live your life and do the things or take the actions that made you feel happy and satisfied and fulfilled and safe?
I mean, it's interesting because it is something that I'm thinking about a lot at the moment. And actually, I can't pinpoint or put a finger exactly on because my parents are adventurers in their own way as well, and unconventional in their way. So which is why I am as I am, because I grew up with them and we lived in different countries when we were younger, and they definitely had unconventional lives in terms of parenting in the 70s. So actually, I think they would probably be pretty supportive if I just did it. But there's something in them that, there's something that they're expressing and that maybe I'm taking on, that is that they want me to be safe. So I think there's part of me now where I think the big step is for me that I need to turn around to them and to everybody and say, I do not want any of the things that anybody thinks that I should have. You know, not only do I want to have a slightly more, but I like radically want a different existence. You know, that I don't necessarily want to work the way that people do or live or make money. You know, like my priorities feel quite opposed to a lot of the values that I see around me.
So what I'm hearing is actually someone who has a huge amount of clarity around what it is that they want. You know what you don't want, but more than that, which is the next step, really, you are communicating to me very clearly what it is that you do want. Now, you might not know how, and right now, I promise you, how is irrelevant, because once we set the intention and have and put all of our attention on it, it's inevitable that it will come in some way, because the universe will step up and support us in creating that thing. We just have to be open to the opportunity and willing to take courageous action when those opportunities arise. And what I'm hearing right now is that there is that the gap is really a courage gap, is a, on the one hand, wanting to take some courageous action, wanting to live a radically different life, and feeling unsure in how to communicate that to other people, because you've actually said that there wouldn't necessarily be judgment, that they would understand. That, and so it's really about communicating that in a way that feels good to both of you. And for you to understand, as someone who moves fast and is adaptable and changeable, that this may not happen overnight. And so in with that ask comes an allowance and a grace period while you try and figure it out. Because what you haven't done before is work out who you are and create a space that shape. What you've done previously is find a shape and make yourself fit. Is this resonating with you?
Yes. Yes, it feels exactly like the situation that I'm in. And I think you're right, really, the last 3 years, I've had a very specific kind of process of personal development. And really in the past, I think probably part of it was last year being on the farm, and part of it has been a period of being unemployed and really having to ask these questions, that I'm closer, I think, to coming to these realizations and really understanding and making the changes. But you're right, that's that kind of leap into it. And
so what would happen if you didn't? What would happen if you didn't have this difficult conversation with your family specifically, but also with yourself, where there's permission given to go and figure it out and to maybe not get it right straight away? Because that's the overachiever, the kind of, you know, the boarding school education where we must get it right, and that's the only way to be appreciated and loved. Yeah. So what if we prepared for this conversation and found a way to know that you had permission from yourself and an understanding and acceptance, potentially from your family, to have some time to jump in. And the question, I guess, that I was getting at beforehand was, if you don't do that, if you don't have this uncomfortable conversation, and another 5 years rolls past, tell me what your life looks like then.
I mean, what's interesting to me is that I can't even think that, because I know that that isn't going to happen. It's not a possibility for me, because the option or the concept of what my life looks like is so uncomfortable to me, of having a realization and then not seeing it through.
Yeah.
That it's really... it's not a possibility to even think that.
So why would you wait?
Because of all those silly concerns that you put, you know, that you put up for yourself, the barriers that you put up for yourself, which is money and, you know, and courage. Courage is a really big one. I think I'm courageous in bite-sized pieces. But the courage I think that I need to really live a true existence is not that it's lacking, but it's I'm not quite there to jump into.
And that makes it sound like you've got to jump into the sea rather than the shallow end. At the moment you're standing in next to the pool and you're not even in.
Yeah, and I don't even know what the pool actually looks like.
Well, you do.
It's like jumping in, you know, over a wall into something and that you don't know what's on the other side.
Yeah, but I think you're making this more complicated than it needs to be, because at the moment I think this is just a conversation.
Yeah.
I think right now what is actually the thing that's stopping you from moving forward is having that conversation with your family that says, you know what, I'm not even looking for a job. I am, but I'm only looking for it because I feel like I should, because I feel like it would keep you happy and because it would be the safe and sensible thing to do. And because somewhere along the lines, we're a unit and I want, you know, I really want to support you and I felt supported by you and we're in this together or whatever it is. Yeah. But there's a communication of it, that. Mm-hmm. And I think that once you do that, it's almost like that's the elephant in the room. That's the big frog. That's the thing that if you were to do it, would release so much energy that there would be space for whatever is next to step in and come in and be shown to you. But you can't see it right now and it can't come to you, because right in front of you before the thing is this big mask, and the mask is the conversation that you're not willing to have. That says, I am in and I'm committed to this other life that I don't know what it even looks like yet, but I commit.
Right.
And in so doing, my experience is that things step up to meet you. Mm-hmm. But if you're on the edge, unsure, not even willing to commit to the family that you care so much about and reveal vulnerably and with your truth, which you mentioned, you know, as being important, because then actually they can support you in that. Mm-hmm. Because actually the safety and the things that you expressed that are at the top of mind for them actually come from a place of concern, not judgment. And it's okay for our family to be concerned about us. Mm-hmm. They always will be. But the thing is, until we show them that there's no need for concern because we are competent, and we are confident, then they will get that too, and as will we. But you won't know that you've got the competency or the confidence unless you take some action.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point, because I think you're very right in that I feel that it is judgment, that I can't have that conversation because judgment will come.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, my relationship with my family is... has been quite complicated, you know, really with the route of going away so young to school, I feel like I've done a lot of work to really build up a good functioning relationship, but it seems that if I put myself in a situation and they turn around and they do judge me, that will damage that relationship.
Totally 100% hear that, and that's a risk that we have when we look to shift any relationship. I see it in marriages every time I coach people, because if one of you is leveling up or changing or moving or dissipating or evolving in some way, it becomes really difficult because the relationship's no longer the same. So if one of you is going off here, the fear is that you're going to leave them behind. I see this in friendship groups. I see it all over the place, because as one of you grows and steps away, the fear is that we will lose the people that we care about. And the thing is, we might, but that's not a reason to keep ourselves small. Yeah. Because actually we can turn it into an invitation. Actually, they can come with us. Actually, a rising tide lifts all ships. And so as you grow, evolve, and move, if you're willing to keep that channel of communication open, then they can come with you. And you already told me, you know, they're unconventional and they're adventurers, and they may love to see you glow and blossom and become the woman that you are supposed to be.
Yeah, I think quite possibly. I think maybe... Sometimes I think my dad needs reminders that his life didn't look conventional either. I think somewhere along the line he's become somebody that thinks that the advice that he needs to give is not the advice that he ever took.
Yeah. And the other part of that is, like, sometimes I really... when difficult things happen in families, particularly around that age, we lean in. And what it can create, so it creates support and it creates love and it's awesome. And at the same time, what it can create is a codependent relationship, and a relationship where sometimes we as the child end up being the parent as well. And actually now you are no longer the child, and that relationship has changed, and you can't change anyone other than you. You can't change your parents. We don't have control. We have control over our beliefs, our behavior, our actions, and our reactions, and no one else's, and nothing else. So at this point, it is your responsibility to take action and to take responsibility for yourself and make choices for yourself. You can't change them, but you can change you. And they'll either rise up and meet you, or they won't. And most of the time people do. And there's often a period of turbulence in between when things look different. You know, as stuff changes, it's always uncomfortable. Change is growth, and growth is uncomfy. And there's resistance from both sides. So I'm not saying it's going to change and be wonderful from one day to the next. But I do really believe that from everything you've told me about your family, they really care. And they want to see you succeed. But you need to take responsibility for yourself and to make the choices and actions that feel true for you. So I think it's in the book, and I think it's in the 8-day course, but I'm going to give you pies. Do you remember pies?
Oh, I do. Yes. Remind me, it's about the different ways that you're looking at.
Okay. So PI stands for physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual. And I draw it as a little pie, and we put them in each corner. And that's just so that we can remember the hell it is I'm talking about. Okay. So the P stands for physical, which in this instance is the data and the facts. And so that would be, we're very close as a family. I care very much about you guys. I haven't been working for a while. There's been a lot of personal growth going on within me. I'm reflecting a lot on what makes me happy and who I am and what I want for my life. All of those are facts, and it's the data. Yeah. And it's time for me to make a decision and take some action. And I'm scared. All facts. Mm-hmm. Intellectual is the story that I'm telling myself. So the story that I'm telling myself is that if I take some action that isn't conventional, that it will change our relationship, and that I will be judged, and that actually, you know, underneath it all, maybe there won't be a love and a compassion and understanding between us, or we'll be back in a place where our relationship isn't as smooth and as easeful as it is now. And the E stands for emotion, which leaves me feeling, you know, a bit anxious and a bit scared and a bit indecisive and whatever. Yeah, so the feeling of what it is. And then the S stands for spiritual, which in this instance is the what do I want? What's my desire? And knowing that we may not have it met, but we ask anyway. And so it's what I would really like is for some time or for your blessing or for permission to explore what it is that I want. And maybe we need to set a period of time where I just get to go and play and follow this misfit whim. And if I haven't proved competency by X date, then I'll, you know, go back and look for a finance job for a bit. Or whatever it is, right? You can ask in your own way. So by separating out the data or the facts of the situation from the story that you're telling yourself, from the emotion and from the desire, you're communicating in a way that's really clean and without projection. Because actually the other thing that you're doing right now, unconsciously, is projecting your fear onto them and making them and your relationship with them the excuse for not moving forward or doing anything differently. And we do it all the time. Oh, I will hurt X if I do that. Which just takes the responsibility away from us, right? Teflon shoulders. Now I'm doing it because I'm kind-hearted. And it's not the truth. The truth is we have to take responsibility for ourselves, that no one else can do that for us. And that just as we are changeable and flexible, so are the people who are around us. And they may not get it initially. They may not get it when you tell them. But when you show them, they get it. They get it because your eyes light up, because you've got more energy, because they see the firework that you really are. And then they're on board. But you have to get on board first.
Yeah. That I mean, ridiculously, because I did that exercise myself. But as you explain it, it seems so clear. And I can actually see myself having that conversation in the way that, not that I've even thought that I needed to have that conversation, but if I sat on my own and imagined trying to express it, I would get so tied up in knots and emotional and but to break it down in that way is so clear, isn't it? And it's there's no, because part of it is that I worry that in order to explain myself that I would start to blame them.
Yeah.
And actually, regardless of what has happened in the past, I'm not really interested in that. I'm interested in moving forward and as you say, taking responsibility. But even when I express myself as wanting to take responsibility, I'm also not, you're right, that I am using that as an excuse to not, that I will be judged and that I will hurt people if I meet my own needs.
And that's something much deeper. And it's a lot of what I work with my private clients is that stuff, because there's nuance to all of this, right? It's the same stuff we were talking before we came on about how you'd read the book and seen yourself in it. And when I wrote it, I thought not a single person in the whole world has ever experienced life like I have. And it's true, they haven't. Right? Not exactly like I have, but the amount of letters and emails and texts and stuff I get from people who are like, oh my God, we're the same person, has been really interesting, really interesting. And so the nuance of this work is what we dive into when I work with people one-to-one, and how to identify and heal our own blocks and wounds and act from our wholeness rather than from our wound. So we're acting from a place of sovereignty rather than a place of neediness and defensiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're coming to time, and I wonder, I'm curious, Has this session been useful?
Considering what a bite-sized piece this was, and considering that my question was quite broad, it's actually been remarkably helpful. I already feel kind of energized because I was feeling quite stuck. You know, I was coming to more and more realizations, but not feeling like I was moving forward. So actually with a pretty straightforward technique, I feel like I have a better understanding of my situation and how to take the next step. So yeah, that's been sort of mind-bogglingly astute and helpful. So thank you.
My pleasure. And I think that's the thing, right? It's not about knowing what all the next steps are, just what the next one is.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you going to have this conversation?
I'm going to need to have the conversation because there's no option not to.
Yeah, and you've publicly declared it now. Well, this probably won't come out until the autumn and maybe even the winter. And at that point, we will check in and see where you are and see whether you have. And I think you will. I think you will.
I think so too. I'm very excited about it.
Great. Well, stay in touch with us. Definitely in the Facebook group because people want to know where you are up to. And thank you so much for coming and being vulnerable and being brave with us and sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it was my pleasure. It was really lovely. Thank you.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.